A big thanks to all our sponsors. Comic Bento.
Comic Bento.
Comic Bento.
Comic Bento.
Comic Bento.
Comic Bento is a subscription service that brings a box of comics to your door every month. Check out our website, thetalkinggeekpod.com. Click the link, subscribe, and wait for your comics to hit the mailbox.
Eyeballs float in wet green grass. I got a chainsaw motor that's filled with rain. But when it sings like Bach, the eyes all bulge. And when the pink sun drops, the eyelids fold while I'm in deep REM sleep. Or twilight zones, I take a freight elevator, better fast forward. I get to grind these teeth and peek through time. If I could bring things back and feed back wild and wet, I saw the future.
Hey, this is V the Fried Nugget.
Hey, this is Tim the Mumble.
Hey, guys, this is Q the Face.
Hey, this is Kenny the Bear with the underscore in front of it.
Hey, this is Pedro the Air Horn.
And this is The Talking Geek.
This is a special episode where we are going to be talking only and everything magicians.
Yeah.
Magic. Magic.
You're a kid and you have these notions about what life is, what it could be. But eventually you have to let all that go.
I learned magic tricks just to keep up with you. It was our thing.
You have to stop.
Magic is real.
What is this place?
Break Bill's University.
Am I hallucinating?
If you were, how would asking me help?
This school exists to reveal your innate abilities and hone them to the highest degree. Let's see some magic. Quentin, real magic.
Do some goddamn magic!
Stop it!
Holy shit, I'm doing this.
You can grow this magic into something more. You can be a magician.
I can't just go to Yale if I know this place exists.
This is no fantasy.
Are you guys trying to take over the world, or?
We don't teach that, but give it a go.
And
the best kind.
That's right. And you might hear a weird voice. And you're like, oh, my God, that is a voice I don't know. It doesn't sound like Kenny's balls.
Who could it be?
And it doesn't sound like a fiery nugget. So who in the world could that be? Oh, we have a special guest. So please introduce yourself to everybody.
Hi, my name is Chad Valdez.
There we go. And
ooh,
Chad
the newness.
Is a Magicians fan. So we are going into a trip to Fillory. Is what we're going to do. So if you're listening to this episode and you are not a fan of magicians, stop right now. Furthermore, this episode is not for you. And you should go to Netflix and watch the goddamn season.
Hell yes.
And that way you can enjoy it like we have enjoyed it. And that's pretty much it. So I am somebody who has read the first book and has seen all the seasons. Chad, you haven't read any of the books,
no
right?
Books. Yeah,
no
yeah.
books. And then we have Pedro here, who has only seen a portion.
I have seen a chunk of the second season with the Shire household.
Yes, the second chunk, right? Of the second season?
After I think it's like the second or third episode through, actually most of the second season.
You dropped in the middle of the second season.
I literally came over one day while just wanting to hang out, and then they were watching the show, and then it was the magicians what they had told me so much about, and I sat down and watched it with them because I like to sit down and just relax with them.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so I kind of started watching the show accidentally, and I watched it the first time, and I didn't like it because a character named Elliot made fun of Harry Potter in a not so nice way, and it crossed me, and I said, I'm not watching this bullshit.
How dare you?
Really, how dare you mess with the sacred Harry?
Especially with me, I was like, no, this is not cool. This
how
is not.
Fuck would you fuck with me?
Yeah, the whole reason I watched it because it was adult Harry Potter, and then he made fun of Harry Potter, and I said, fuck you, I'm not watching this. And then I was like, okay, let me try again. And by the time I got to episode 4 of the first season, that was the deal breaker for me. That was the one that was well thought out, well filmed, good storyline, and that's what made Vanessa a Magicians fan.
Okay.
For those of you who are listening and you're like, what episode was that again? That's the episode where Julia fucks over Quentin, and Quentin thinks that he's back in the insane asylum, only to find out that his beloved, his betrothed, has fucked him over and has fooled him into thinking that he is in this mental hospital.
That was a seriously harsh,
reckoning. She magically gaslights him to think that
basically.
He's back.
Yeah. Just,
holy
and
fuck.
Also, she can get more power for herself.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So, and Julia, especially in that. Well, Julia is my new my new boo. I'm obsessed with Stella Maeve. I follow her everywhere on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter.
Little stalking. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
You follow her everywhere.
It's only a little light stalking.
It's just
fine.
A little bit light.
It's a
stalking.
Smidge.
I stalk other people harder, so you know you're safe. I follow, which is a similar liking. I follow Chloe Bennett, who is Sky / Daisy on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Of course, I can see that.
And yeah, they're very similar type of
you
woman.
Yeah. You have a fucking type.
I literally have
there's a type
such
there.
A fucking
oh no,
type.
I have two types. It's that type, or it is the fair skinned redhead. I mean, there's no wavering.
So what you're saying is Felicia Day coming onto Magicians
is
going to
great.
Be just an orgasm bomb.
Yeah, basically. And that's why Emma Stone falls under there. That's why my new boo is also Rachel Brosnahan.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the red hair.
God damn it. Yeah, oh man.
And she looks especially hot when she's red, like the red hairs all over her face matted from the rain.
Yes.
There's something
that
about
first episode awesome. When she walks into that club
oh
is just
God.
Like,
hello, yes, lady.
Marvelous so. Miss Maisel, watch it.
I've seen that part. The,
yeah.
listen, I'm married to a brunette, but I didn't discover my love for redheads until after the fact. So I already told her that should she die or divorce me, I am going after redheads hardcore.
Makes sense.
The rest
but
of your life.
Let's get back to the magician. So,
yes.
Chad, what were your initial thoughts on the first season? Because I know that you had waited a long time. You were waiting for the second season to hit Netflix, and so you had been basically salivating since then. So what were your initial thoughts of the first season?
Well, the first season, it got me interested because it was the most intricate use and, I guess, proper use of magic, if there's even such a thing. Because normally, even in Harry Potter, in the movies, they're very inconsistent with
right.
how they do. So, you know, some people talk and wave wands and say the, you know, Accio, whatever.
Right.
And then other times you have people like Dumbledore who can just do whatever they want whenever they want
yeah,
to.
Yeah, wand or no wand, he's just going to make it happen.
Exactly. And magicians seemed very formulaic. And followed a set of rules, and like you said, adult Harry Potter.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's pretty much all you need to do. And you put
dirty Potter.
Oh God, and it's pretty much where honestly magic would go. Are you kidding? The sex and
oh my God, yeah,
with
yeah.
Just magic alone.
Everybody
there's so
would
many,
have magic boners all the time.
Listen,
I mean,
their levitating sex scene was amazing. I was like, yes,
exactly.
I would so do that. That's
I mean,
what I would do.
We could spend a whole episode just talking about sex and magic. So, let alone the implications of that horrible Harry Potter with Polyjuice potion.
Oh, my
and,
God. No, no, no.
And
aftermarket. Let's
stay
not think
tuned
about
for
that,
our though. Next podcast called Asio Boobs.
Yeah, no kidding.
Asio Ass.
There you go.
So, anyway, it just really attracted me because there's sci-fi can do good things. All you have to do is look at Dune, like from
right.
the 2000s.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And they can do good things. I guess they found that they could make more money off of really bad movies. So they went that route for a long time, including changing their name to Sci-Fi or whatever. Like,
yeah.
I don't even know who made that decision. Probably the same guy who called Xbox One, Xbox One X. You know, that kind
the
of really
The initials
bad.
Are Xbox.
Yeah,
Xbox
I got it. Thanks.
Recursive acronym.
So anyway, that's what drew me in. And like I said, sci-fi has always had my loyalty, even though they went horrible directions for a while. And they tell me they're going to produce a magician show. I begrudgingly went along. I'm like,
all right,
let me see. And then they put out the first preview. And I was utterly sold.
Yeah, it took me a while just because I have that home base, that loyalty where I felt like I was cheating on J.K. Rowling. I was just like, oh my God, look what I've done to you. Look what you've done to me. This is all your fault. And so that happened to me. And then I did enjoy, and that was something that I said about the very first season when they introduced all the variations of spells and that not everything is a word spell or like they call it tutting, you know, there's some things that require some sort of alchemy, and that's how you, and that it's different levels of different things. I might need you to do something with potions while I'm doing something with my hands, while you're doing an incantation, and that is what makes this one thing come to life.
Yes.
And Harry Potter kind of splits it, like, these things are just potions, and these things are just
wands. These are very, very discreet schools of magic.
Very rarely, like, I need a potion to cast this battle magic spell.
Yeah.
Right,
and in that one, it was more like, well, this one thing we needed as a group, because you might be really good in this, and that's, we're going to need to do it together as a group. And of course, the fact that it has drugs and alcohol was like, this is my magic school.
Yeah, like, done.
This. And I'll say this, I liked that they changed that for the TV show, because in the book, well, they did this weird thing with the TV show where you don't really know. You know that Quentin is graduating high school and he's about to go into college, and that's what's happening. Whereas in the book, they're going to graduate school. So they
I thought in the first season one, he's going into graduate school. Isn't he going for a master's?
I can't remember now.
I would hope so, because Quentin definitely does not look
like
he's graduating.
No, you're right. You're right. You're
he's
right,
applying
you're
to
right.
Yale for a master's when he walks into the room to fight that guy.
That is like age appropriate, because you're telling me if Quentin was supposed to be a fucking high schooler, I was just like,
I don't think so.
But I've seen weird things happen at 18. I'm just saying.
Although Quentin is, in the books, smart enough that he does start taking college classes while he's in high school.
Okay.
So he's that intelligent.
He's clearly the brilliant version.
Yeah. I think of the books as a way of marrying Harry Potter and Dawson's Creek.
Sure.
Where these kids have this extremely high vocabulary for just being like 21 years old. Very much like Dawson's Creek. These people were in high school and they were speaking with
My language.
You know? Yeah. So for me, it was like the marrying of the two of them. That's how I kind of saw the first season. And when I was reading the book especially, I find myself to be a very intelligent person. But there was words that Quentin was using that I was like, I have no fucking clue what
I haven't
he's
run
saying.
Across that in a very long time.
Yes.
I mean, to be fair, let me put a caveat on it. I'm a lawyer, so my vocabulary is ridiculous.
Yes, it is.
But it has to be.
It has to be.
Yeah. So
I do dick jokes on stage. My vocabulary is very limited.
It's sufficient.
Yeah, it's exactly what I need it to be for what I do. But even then, I do read a lot, but there was just words that I just really couldn't. It was to the point where I bought a Kindle just to read this book so that I can highlight words and like.
Oh, does it look it up? I actually don't own a Kindle.
Kindles have gotten good, bro. Kindles are actually worth picking up.
Honestly, I can't stand not having a physical book in my hand.
I thought the same thing for a long time, but then the first time I got a Kindle and I was able to do that, I was like, ooh, this is dangerous because that might fuck with my collection.
I own a Kindle, and currently the only book I've read on said Kindle is The Magicians.
Okay,
Everything else, I have a physical book
but
for
see,
it,
here's
or
the,
an audiobook,
but,
or both.
But see, here's the problem.
I've got books and audiobooks. Yeah. I don't have very few digital, unless you can download it for free. I've got a few downloadable free
ones. Yeah,
you can
the
get
Prime of the Month
one
books.
Or $1 and $2 sales happen all the fucking time.
Oh,
that's
great.
Where I have
so now I'm going to go Steam on this route and
it
have
is,
like
yes,
8
yes.
million
oh,
digital content.
I have at least 40 books that I have not touched that I got from $2
and
sales. I think The Magicians is one of them.
I was able to finagle the system today because I got the email from Prime and picked my new free Kindle books.
Oh, there you go.
So what I did was all the ones that I wanted, I open tab, and one click free, it gave me all three books. You hear that, folks? You're welcome. But
Amazon's going to shut that down the second they hear
that.
Yeah,
I know, right? if only Amazon would listen to our podcast, that would be great. I wouldn't even mind if they took it off, knowing that they listened.
It's like, oh, you heard me. Okay.
But to go a little bit further, I didn't know how I was going to feel about a sci-fi show because I'm not a sci-fi fan.
Okay.
So for me to be into something sci-fi, it has to be really, really good. Even when Stranger Things came out.
Did you watch Sci-Fi Fridays like growing up?
No.
Okay, see, that's probably why.
Yeah,
you're
that
not a sci-fi
yeah,
fan.
That was definitely not her.
After Sci-Fi Fridays, it went all downhill.
Yeah, no, that was that. I never watched. I'm not a big sci-fi fan in general.
Oh, okay,
like, I just
that's right.
Don't
yeah,
like
I think we've
science
talked about
fiction.
That.
Yeah, she's more. You're more fantasy.
I'm more fantasy. So Magicians was like, oh, it's on the Sci-Fi Channel, but it's my kind of fantasy. It's that wizards and gnomes and dwarves and fairies and all of that, which is what I like. So I'll jump into it. The only show that really wasn't supposed to be in my wheelhouse at all that I loved was Stranger Things. So I don't like horror and I don't like science fiction.
Oh my
and
God,
that is
how
both.
Did you? How do you even
and
like
I loved it.
Then.
I was just like, if every sci-fi show could be like this, I would be a lot more into sci-fi. But that's not what I get. I get other shows that I will not talk about on this
episode.
And
we're territory because we could totally sidetrack into Stranger Things all day long.
All day long. But so that was kind of how I felt. And then I read the book, and it's so different from the book that you can enjoy the book and the show separately from one another. Characters' names even change. Like, Margot is not Margot in the book. She's Janet in the book. Like, it's this whole different world.
That used to tear my panties like nothing could ever say. But I've gotten so used to just movies screwing up books and vice versa that, honestly, I actually view them as... It's good that they change it because it gives me something else to watch and enjoy. And they're completely separate things.
Well, it helps you reframe it in your head. When you think about it, you're like, okay, well, at this point, the book does this... Now there's a completely different named character that does kind of the same thing. That's a different world.
And it's a different way of exploring. It's like it's almost like fan fiction or, you know, just like an alternative version.
Like an AU, like an alternate universe.
Yeah, like an alternate universe. And, I mean, I'm not saying that the books are the prime always or whatever, but they're, like, it's like Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings is probably the closestly hewn thing, and they still change stuff all over the place.
Yeah.
And that's, but even so, it still works amazingly well. Even, I just rewatched it. All 16 hours. And that's without The Hobbit.
They had it on TV recently.
Yeah, I have the Blu-rays.
Oh, so do I.
You know, and the DVDs and the whatever.
See, when everybody was going crazy for Star Wars, I was going crazy for Lord of the Rings. Hey. It was more my fantasy world.
I did both.
You can do both.
I know, but it wasn't like... I always mess around with Bear. Like, I love space, but like real space. Like, I love to watch shows of cosmos and, you know, the solar system.
Science.
And
like
I
science.
Love
real
science.
What you're saying, you don't like ships exploding in space and making sounds and space magic?
It doesn't tickle my fantasy.
I just want a lightsaber, like a glowing red lightsaber.
Listen, Star Wars is space fantasy. Yeah. Like, straight up. That is not science fiction. That is straight up fucking fantasy.
Yeah, you're 100%. Right.
Although, in the last movie, we just had gravity bombs drop in space.
Yes! It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense, but just keep going.
Now, to go back, so since they're so different from the books, nobody here's read the books. I'll leave it to the fans who are listening. If you guys have read all three books, I'm sure that when it comes time when we discuss predictions, you're gonna see why I've made specific predictions for it, and where other people might be off. Message us on Facebook if you enjoyed the book, if you liked it, if you didn't like what they changed, because they changed so much when it comes to the adventures of this gang.
I was just going to ask one last question. Yeah. How close to, say, like, it's usually the first season that's used pretty close to the first book.
I want to say that
after that,
they
the changes have become too much.
They changed from the very first season, and they needed to.
Okay.
And I say that they needed to because there was only three books. So if you were going to make this a show that was really going to be able to take off, you either had to start dividing the books into two different seasons each book so that you can have this like six-season run and then end it, or you're going to have to vary. You're going to have to stray from the story.
True.
And so I'll say that with comparison to the book and the first season, they took 50% of the book and then did what they wanted.
Gotcha.
For the most part. Except that what I will give them credit for is everything that they made these characters do that didn't happen in the book is something those characters would have done anyways.
Okay, that's really
cool. They stayed in character even if they didn't do the same.
Yes,
right.
Even if they didn't
rare.
Do the same.
That's smart.
That,
total changes.
Yeah, yeah, and that for me was important. Lev Grossman had a lot to do with the... he did and he didn't. They consulted with him with regards to certain aspects of the story, and he was a stickler on certain characters of changing too much, one of them being Julia, and that's important because of where her character goes
Julia's
in
really
the book.
Key to the story.
Super key.
Yeah.
But for most, you assume that Quentin is the most important character.
Well, that's because they frame him as such from the
beginning.
Yeah,
they do, and he's your narrator for the books even. But really, the two most important characters are Elliot and Julia.
Absolutely.
Has nothing to do with anybody. It doesn't.
So does he remain point of view character in the book for the whole book?
He's pretty much the audience's like way in.
He's the Harry, basically.
He's the Harry. He's definitely the Harry.
Because you got your Hermione and Alice.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yes. Absolutely. And there is a lot of those little lines of, like, if you really liked Harry Potter, you're going to like these aspects of these stories. Quentin, for me, is Pedro.
Okay.
That's actually what got me interested.
Yeah,
I was just like, I have to see this.
He reminds me, in Quentin's best attributes are Pedro's attributes. Because, and especially in the book. In the book, he's a little bit more obnoxious for some of his... some of his...
Pedro obnoxious? No.
Yeah. But his... just his manner of being and his self-loathing and certain aspects.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only because of how close I am to you that I'm like,
Quentin. I would fully admit it, yeah.
You're super intelligent like he is. You speak in a lot of the manners that he does. And you address situations very much the same way that Quentin does and still have your emotions completely dived into it. And he's very much like that.
Yeah.
So you are Quentin to me.
I can see that. I can see that.
Yeah, when I saw...
I've known Pedro for a long time, too, and I can see that comparison.
When I started watching it, I understood it immediately what you said, because of just he has this sort of droll way of speaking about situations and stuff, and like literally putting his heart on his sleeve and how it fucks him so bad.
Oh,
every time.
So many times.
Every time
he tries to level, it just bites him in the ass.
Yeah. So I was just like, I mean it with love. I was like, I just feel like I'm reading your story. Like, you are the character in this story.
you have become this
and
man.
And I'm following you. And so that was great. It is different. They go on a completely different adventure. Like, in the book, they graduate. In the first book.
Oh, they graduate.
They graduate, and they're done.
No
and
shit.
I actually enjoyed an aspect of that, because it's like, what do you do when you're a magician? You've graduated a college nobody can know about. What the fuck do you apply for as a job?
Right.
Like, what do you do?
What's the next step?
And I enjoyed that, because when you watched Harry Potter, it was like, oh, become an Auror. You become a ministry. That's not a job for everybody. You know, maybe the top, like, one percentile.
Harry
of
was
going
to be an Auror from the day he set foot in Hogwarts.
Yeah. I wonder what, like, the nobodies that like got D's in every class. What the hell do you
go
through?
Oh, you saw them. They were the guys and the clerks in the background that no one cared about.
Yeah, well, they were the salarymen and salary women.
So, like, they all go moved in together into an apartment in New York, and they're bored. Like, they, in the book, they're bored as shit. They're like, what the fuck do we do now?
Well, see, that's what I actually liked about the show so much, is that it really does a really good job of splitting the difference between, like, all the crazy fantasy bullshit, like Elliot disappearing to this other fucking planet, having a copy of himself, like, still walking around Earth, like, splitting all that bullshit.
The copy stuff.
She that
was
great.
Fucking great.
That was amazing.
Oh, but
and
was
having the real world.
Things. Like, well, he's having sex with two different people.
Oh, yes, yes.
That was such a good scene.
I couldn't even imagine trying to do that.
And literally, so he was like, I figured it out. Like, he's like, I solved it.
Which was great. So,
anyway,
now jumping into the second season, which I didn't realize how much had happened in those episodes until I went back to rewatch it.
Yeah.
And Vanessa and I were laying in bed, and I was like, hey, let's rewatch The Magicians to get like into the next season. And it went all the way back still to the Beast. And I was like, oh, fuck. That was all in the first season. They rushed a lot of information. Did you feel like the second season was rushed, Chad?
I thought that the Beast should have been dragged out more. Like, he was such the big bad.
Right.
In the first season, and they failed at the end of the first season.
Right, right.
So I thought this was going to be like an ongoing thing, but like three episodes into the season two, Beast dead, game over.
Gun.
Alice
gun.
Becomes a god of magic and move on.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Question mark?
Where do we go now?
Yeah, what do we do now?
It's like I thought are we going to go Buffy? Like every season is going to be the new big bad, and we're going to and they're going to be like, oh, it's Apocalypse. What is it, Tuesday?
Yeah.
You know, like.
I feel like when I rewatched it, I was like, okay, you gave us a lot to chew on, because so many different things happened. You had the whole situation with the Beast. You then had Alice turning into a Niffin. You had Julia's entire ordeal. And that in its own thing. Then you have the situation with Elliot. You have the situation with his wife and the baby and the fairies and Ember and Umber. And like, there's so many things that are actually going on that I can understand if some people were like, whoa, this is flooded. This is like really
I can't
flooded.
Even imagine jumping in, like you were saying. You jumped in five episodes in the second season and had to catch up.
Well, but basically what ended up happening was, it was just that I was able to follow where shit was going on, but they're like, all the stuff with the Beast, all that stuff, obviously I needed to ask and explain it, but I thought it actually did a pretty good job of whatever was important at this moment. Like I was able to follow it. So that's a testament to like how good the writing is. And I'm like, okay, well, obviously I jumped in late.
This. Especially for Elliot and
yes.
Penny.
Oh my God. The sass.
The sass.
Everybody's
is
fucking
dripping.
Sass.
No. Penny's a better character in the show. I will appreciate, and that's Vanessa, by the way. When we're putting our group of our little group into characters in Magicians, Vanessa's Penny.
Okay.
I don't give a shit when shit gets to corny. Like, fuck this. Who cares? Like, all of that. That is Vanessa through and through.
I love Sexception. Like, is the best.
That is the best. So now we're getting into season two. Obviously, we've kind of summarized all of that. But yeah, a lot of things happened. What was your favorite moment or plot situation that was happening in season two?
In season two, I'd have to say the dragon, because I'm a dragon freak.
Okay.
And the fact that they put the dragon is not a mindless beast, more akin to something like Smaug. And she even says, hey, we're making a deal. I'm a dragon, bitches.
Yeah. Like,
you know, like either you're leaving with giving me something or I'm going to eat you.
Right. Like,
you're testing my patience. Make a deal.
And how did you think about their version of Purgatory?
It was actually really interesting. I like the whole, like, it goes with the concept of what is your paradigm, right? Like, for what is your afterlife? So in a modern society, that your purgatory is a waiting room. Yes.
Makes sense.
Absolutely. And that you can then go on to particularly like, okay, Elysium or wherever you want to go, heaven.
Right.
But the scene when he had to leave, when he thought he was leaving Alice's shade behind, I wanted to like ugly cry.
Yeah.
Like it was bad.
I know there was that tear in me because I wanted Julia to be whole again, but I wanted him to have Alice again. And it was this weird tear. I have to say that my favorite theme of the whole show, and it was probably what I was going through in my life at the same time that this season had just finished or just come out, was the roller coaster that Julia went on.
True.
in being traumatic and wanting to erase that from your life. So having your shade removed,
right,
realize who you become when you don't have any emotions to give a shit, and then the trial of trying to get that back. Like, how do you, when you've lost yourself, when you've given yourself away completely because you didn't want to deal with it.
At least she gave herself away for a good reason. Like,
no, she totally did. Yeah. I mean, I would have understood. I understand 100% why she didn't want her shade for that particular
absolutely.
Situation.
And no, when the Beast offered to take her shade, I'm surprised she didn't leap on it.
Yeah, and at first she was like, no.
That would have been me. I would have been like, take it and, oh God, without emotions and magic, Pedro, what would I do?
But, oh I mean, God. It's very much
about terrifying. The new Dark Lord.
Yeah, no fucking joke.
But it's very much what happens to her.
Yeah.
You know?
IRL Sith over here.
And then I think that she was fine with it until she realized that she sacrificed Quentin.
Mm-hmm.
And that was her, like, oh.
But she was sacrificing Quentin when she had a shade.
Yes, you're right. So. But she felt guilty about it. And in this time.
As long as she felt bad about
she
it.
She didn't see anything wrong with it. And everybody was like, you just did this. She was like, yeah, but I got what you wanted. So I don't understand what the big problem is. And then she's like, really.
I started an interracial war and burned triocide? What do
they
call it?
Yeah, triocide. She burnt the whole thing down.
Trianticide?
Like, I don't know. Planticide?
Which is going to be very funny. That is, and I have it here in my notes. For those of you who have not read the books, remember that scene because it will come back. What Julia did there will come back.
And to be fair, I've done that literally in a D&D game where I had a fire wizard and some jerk off was hiding in a forest and the forest would let us pass. And I'm like, okay.
I'm
a fire wizard.
All right.
Goodbye.
You're all on fire. There you go. But that whole trauma for her trying to do that. And then again, as bad as she wanted her shade, that she was willing to almost die by a dragon.
Right.
And then take Alice's shade back instead.
That was super heartbreaking.
And I have to say, I much prefer a cunt Alice.
Yes.
To
right?
First season Alice.
Oh my God, Alice, first season, especially with parents as. I get that she went through trauma with her brother and
right.
That's messed up, but where, like, Alice was super repressing.
Yes.
And I'm like, let it go. Like, when she became a dog or whatever in the winter scene.
Oh,
with
yeah.
Quentin, and they finally banged. God
yeah.
damn it. At least it didn't make us wait, like, 8 seasons like Dawson.
Yeah, that did so.
Is that really? I mean, they could have, and I would have watched it.
I would
have,
like, too.
I watched Dawson's Creek
so
the whole
I.
way through.
Oh,
so
me too.
I can't say anything.
Like, to the season finale.
Oh,
where
she makes you, where they just make you cry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ugly tears.
It,
yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
I did love Dawson's Creek. I still watch it when I catch it.
I'm not judging. No,
yeah.
That's not a
I
judging,
see this
look.
Judging look.
No,
from
that
Pedro.
That was not a judging look. I have seen some fucking weird trash TV, so I have no. As long as it's not Friends.
Now,
no, I screw Friends.
Do you think that finding out? When do you think that Alice gave up her shade?
Doesn't she give it up when she becomes a Niflheim?
No, she becomes a Niffin when she uses her powers so high to defeat the Beast and the. She basically dies, but she's
right.
Been using
she's consumed by the magic.
I thought that
consumption separated her shade.
I actually think I have a theory that she lost it when she lost her brother, and that's why she
Is
was.
That why she's such a repressed.
She was so repressed and like emotionless in the first season, only doing what she knew she was supposed to do.
So
or
you're
how
saying
you
that she didn't have her shade
to.
The whole time.
I think that she didn't have her shade the whole time.
Interesting.
I personally think that she didn't have her shade the whole time. I think that the trauma of her brother and her need to want to understand what it's like to be a Niffin and really chase them and go after them and try to find what was
okay,
happening.
Okay, now I have to watch the whole thing again.
I know,
with
I'm
that
so
point
sorry,
of view. Thanks.
Sorry, I know, but that's my theory because then it made more sense to me. I was like, that's why you changed so drastically. Now you went from this weird emotionless, like, because even when, and I go back to when he cheated on her.
Yeah.
And she sits on the edge of the bed.
Just
super
watching.
Calm,
yeah.
Cool, and collected, and doesn't say anything. Lets her see him. I mean, lets him see her, and then just gets up and walks away. And then there's a brokenheartedness, but it isn't what you would expect.
It's like detached.
Right. It's detached. And then what does she do? She goes and she fucks Penny.
Right.
Which is not... the initial Alice that you would be like, oh, she's supposed to be sentimental about. That's more like a Julia move.
Yeah,
it's
totally.
Like, or a Margot move. I'm going to go fuck him
definitely
and piss
Margot
you
move.
Off. Definitely a Margot move.
I mean, Margot would do it just for fun. But
yeah,
I mean,
she
that's
would. I mean,
point.
That's why she slept with Quentin. She would just did it for fun. And so that was like one of those things that I was like, I wonder if she's just always been this way.
Huh. And I mean, I've seen people that would do like that are when they get hurt, they go apathetic.
Right.
And I don't know how to deal with that because I don't know, but I try to keep my emotions in check. But like, I feel that if someone betrayed me like on that level, I would be raging mad.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't even know what to do with myself.
And if not raging mad, because I always think I would go raging mad. And then when I did go through something similar like that in my life, I wasn't raging mad. I was just a raging emotional ball of like a mess. Like
right.
There was no
I'd be something like that.
Words.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
I couldn't even think of like really going through like a revenge. Like I was too hurt, too broken to even
right.
go there. And then the anger came right after that. And again, so
I
started
I wouldn't
to
be able to sit there and,
yeah, no.
and just look at no, you're kidding.
No,
me.
Not without lighting
I either have
on
to
fire.
Leave or stabbing is going to be happening.
Yeah.
You know, like,
or I'm lighting the sheets on fire and
yeah,
watching
something.
You
especially
run the
with magic. Wait,
yeah.
Oh, are you kidding?
That or I would seal your vagina up.
Yeah,
never
something.
Fucking do anything again.
Like, just the
think
amount of horrible
yeah.
revenge you could wreak with magic.
Yeah.
Would just
God,
be,
seal, oh my God, yeah, seal the vag.
So now when you go back and watch it, try to see, even if it's just the first season, try to see if you could pinpoint Alice and her and whether or not it's because she never had her shade, because they never address
that
they
makes
never
a, that
address
makes a fair sense.
How long she's been there or anything like that. And then I remember Quentin saying that now he understands why she could never figure out the spell, that now he knows what she was missing, and she
right.
had always been missing her shade. And I just think that she may not have told him that.
Well, the way I took it when he said that was that no one had ever tried to unite the shade
with
while
the person
you,
again.
While trying to bring the Nephilim back to Nephilim, not Nephilim, right?
No, it's Niffin.
Niffin. Nephilim mm-hmm. is something else.
It's another fantasy thing.
It's
right.
Another
I'm blending
I mean,
my fantasy worlds.
Yeah, we're still in the world, so it's okay for those of you who are listening. But yeah, a Niffin. And I thought it was when she kept saying that she's tried every spell possible to try to bring her brother back. And he goes, I think I figured it out why. I
right.
think that
the shade
but
was
it could
the missing
mean.
Ingredient. That's what I took it as. Was
yeah.
That the shade was the missing ingredient. That no one had ever tried to reunite a Niffin and his shade before. Because
right.
no one's really gone, oh yeah, let me go into the underworld and talk with a dragon. And
yeah,
and
nobody's gone that
out,
far.
You know, like, no one's ever got that far. They maybe made it to the dragon, but generally probably just got eaten.
By the way, that was a brokenhearted scene. When when they go back into that other realm and Quentin gets to talk to another version of Alice who
uh-huh.
instead lost him
oh.
and was trying to find him back.
Oh my God, that was like Alice brokenhearted.
Oh
totally.
Yeah, that was an Alice with her shade.
Yeah.
And that was an Alice that was the Alice that I expected from the whole season for like the whole what she should have been in the first whole season. And so I see that. And then I got to see Julia without her shade, which was she's hot in both versions
I mean, yes.
of everything. So
especially when they started. I remember just going back to season one when she started messing around with the I forget her name off the top of my head, but the lady who was the head witch.
Oh, Melanie Man. It's gonna mess me up.
Head witch lady.
Yes, head witch lady. Yeah,
and she was a bitch.
Yes.
But I guess if you are surviving on your own and everybody's trying to kill you because you're a head witch,
head witch. Yeah.
You gotta be a badass ball breaking bitch. You know,
and
like
she
to
ends
survive.
Up saving.
And she does. She ends up in the end redeeming a lot of what she did.
Oh, a lot of what she did.
Especially with that last minute spell where she has to come back from wherever apparently nothingness that she didn't want to be in.
Yeah.
And then
save
go back
Julia
again. And save Julia again.
So, yeah, Julia's, wow. You know what? Julia's, that's how foxy she is. She just meets people and automatically they owe her favors. Like, automatically they're like, how can I help you? Sure, we've only known each other for like a month, but I'll do whatever you need me to do for you.
Oh, you need me to get into my shade? Yeah, sure, that's
sure.
fine.
And how badly did you want when they started, you unlocked the spell and they tatted her arm?
Oh,
like,
my God.
That, I am horrible in that I have no tattoos, and it's only because I can't choose.
Oh, okay.
I came like to 90% certainty on that tattoo the first time I saw it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think that's going to be one, if not my first tattoo.
One, that's a good choice.
It is a good choice. And then, so many things happen in this next season. So now you have, I want to get to how the season ended. So
okay.
The season ends with so many things happening. The season ends and you have Ember, who is Ember and Umber. We know that they've split up. Quentin has gone to go see this new world named Cuba, which is super plain and nothingness.
And cubicle.
And cubicle. You have Margot, who's come back from the fairy realm without an eye. Basically, and with Josh, who's a much bigger character in the books, by the way.
I like that he's like the hash cook, you know,
and
the magical drug dealing.
and he's that in the books too, which I love him for it. I love him for that because he's also that in the books.
Like, oh, what was that?
Oh,
one
so
scene?
It's like, the same.
Oh no, yeah, he sells brownies and cookies and the whole fucking nine. He's always like
fuck
that.
Yeah.
Like,
I remember,
but he's also a little bit smarter in the books.
They show him sleeping with some girl. He's like, oh, we totally ate the wrong brownie. Yeah. I wanted tripping balls like the sun, not like deep mysterious thoughts or something like that.
Yeah. And so you end with everybody kind of pairing them all up, and you've made it back to Fillory. They're trying to make sure that the magic stays stable. Fen, who's pregnant with Elliot's child, is now stuck in the fairy realm because she won't leave their kid behind. Margo's come back with Josh. We've brought Umber into the mix by they throw this whole big party, this fake party, knowing that it would bring Umber with little cakes. They're trying to convince him. Elliot's trying to convince him that he'll make sure that he keeps making this world interesting so that he doesn't get rid of it, only for Quentin to show up with Ember, and now Umber realizes that Ember fooled him and he never died and he fucked him over and he left him here, and now Umber kills Ember, and long and behold, Quentin kills Umber.
Yeah, which, wow. What
holy
a
crap. That was a great scene, though, because I didn't know what was actually going to happen, and I didn't know that both of them would die.
I didn't think both of them would die at all.
I definitely did not.
I was like, how? What?
Yeah,
no,
now
don't
what?
Kill both of them.
What are you going to do
what
now?
What are you doing?
And then now there's no magic.
Yeah. Well, it's because of the
plumber.
The plumber.
The fucking plumber.
What an awesome, like, just so subtle and like, who said it? Oh, Alice.
Alice
was like,
is the one that
you tells idiot.
Yeah.
Gods have parents too.
Yes. And that's exactly what she said. She was like, there's an actual plumber who's going to who controls. And it was,
the
it's
break.
So
yeah.
Simplistic. Like, of just the idea of, I'm turning off magic.
Yeah, you become a threat.
<It's done>.
Goodbye.
Yeah, and now it's gone. And it ends with Julia at the end, which is a great homage to the first season.
Yes.
Julia at the end showing Quentin that she can make sparks.
Right.
Which is exactly what Quentin did to show her that he could do magic when he was in the insane asylum that she put
exactly.
him in.
Exactly.
Which was, for me, like, what a great way of marrying.
And also, that's how when... I was trying to binge watch the first season again in preparation for this, but child work and other things stopped me at like episode 4 or whatever.
Of course.
But the when Richard tries to, I think it's Richard tries to force her to do magic and like corners her in the bathroom and she like rips out those like lightsaber sparky things.
And that's all she can
like
do.
Like Kylo Ren saber sparky things.
Yeah.
Oh, and she and that was like, that's to me what I called that scene back as opposed to the
and
one that
me,
you're saying.
I called it because it was like a way, because Quentin was trying to make her feel stupid when he was showing her the sparks that he could do or that she could do or that he could do at the beginning. And it was like this, like, and now she gets to kind of like throw that back into his face. And
also bring him hope because he was
spiraling.
He was kind of spiraling. I mean, he's spiraling.
He was
going to
spiral. He was going to definitely spiral if he wasn't already spiraling. That is Quentin's character. Quentin's character is
he's on a perpetual spiral.
He's just on the edge of depression.
He's swirling around the entire time. He's just ready to fall.
And to be fair, that's also just to go back to one of the things that brought me into it when I was. This is going to sound stupid, but or maybe not in this crowd. When I was a teenager, I had read way too many fantasy books by the time I was like 19 or 20 and started to realize that the world is a piece of shit.
Yeah. Well,
well,
and in the right
that
group
magic
here.
Is pretty much not real as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
Having looked and looked and looked and looked and looked.
Search for it.
And so I hit that edge where I'm like, I feel that something's wrong, that something's missing from this world. And to then know magic exists, I've done it. And then have it taken away from you?
Just
put a lightsaber through me.
And I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Just
now,
stick a butter knife right through your head.
Absolutely.
The show does this really good thing, if you haven't read the books, of making you feel like the this is the group of like the best magicians, and Alice is the one that has like the best magic ever,
right.
And Elliot is actually the close second. And then you watch it so often that Julia was always kind of like thrown to the side and thrown to the side.
Well,
and thrown
to the
side.
Well, yeah, because she was the sacrifice for the 40th round of go-round.
Which is the only thing that they've changed, and it's the only time they've ever won.
Right.
Julia was that catalyst, and that kind of tells you how powerful she actually is.
Oh, yeah.
And what's interesting and what they have yet, I feel, to truly depict in the show is that Julia actually loves magic more than Quentin does.
I think so.
She loves it.
She's addicted.
With every ounce of her being, where Quentin loves the idea of magic, the wonder of magic.
True.
But wouldn't necessarily sacrifice everything for it, where mm-hmm. Julia did.
Right,
Julia
yeah, no, sacrificed if he had to give up, say, like, Alice for magic, I don't think he'd do it.
I don't think he would.
Yeah, and where Julia would be like, okay, I love you, Quentin,
but peace.
Bye.
Deuces, yeah. Bye, bitch. You know, like, out of here. So that is something. So now we're going into the third season. So I do have a few questions.
Okay.
One, I wanted to do this because we're gamers here. Did the plumber not remind you of live-action Super Mario?
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
Absolutely.
I felt like he should have been dressed in, like, green or red.
Oh, if he had been dressed in, like, freaking Super Mario, even red vaguely blue, looking yeah. clothes, I would have lost my mind.
I will say this. They do a great job with a lot of character development. I feel like they don't have enough character development for Margot. I think that she's the only one that isn't...
Kind of fell by the wayside?
Well, it's that... I feel like Margot's character development is completely and totally based upon Elliot.
Yeah, she reacts to Elliot.
She reacts to Elliot, and where each character, you kind of see what they were after. You know what Quentin was after. You know what Julia was after. You know what Alice... Margot's the only one that I don't have an answer. I was wondering if you have an idea of what she wants.
Especially in the first season, all I could tell is that she liked to fuck and do drugs and wanted to be with Elliot.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, because I couldn't... She would... Not that she dropped Elliot, but that as soon as a new guy presented himself, she was like, I want to go fuck that. And Elliot was like, okay.
Yeah.
And so I guess that's why their relationship worked. But other than that, I couldn't tell what her overarching goal was other than to have fun. I think she gained a little bit of a goal by the end of this season, or second season, because now she wants to see Fillory succeed. And she's obviously sacrificed more than a little bit, including her eye.
Yeah.
And she was willing to sacrifice the child to get magic working again. Oh, not her child, but a child.
A child, yeah.
Someone that she knew that would be very integral to Elliot.
Yeah.
In one aspect, I see her sacrificing the baby for magic, but that magic is what he needed to win that battle.
Right.
So
Absolutely.
It was like, yes, I'm sacrificing this child, but I didn't think... I thought you would win and all would be well and we'd be going elsewhere. So I do think that I'm hoping that in this next season that we kind of use that rift that Elliot and Margot have right now in their relationship so that you can give me some sort of character development
give
and just
space.
The drive for... And they're showing you that because at the end, like, of course, Margot wants to, like, rule with a heavy hammer, and, like, Elliot, flamboyantly gay and delicious as he is, wants to be like, no, love and compassion and party time. And she's like, no, rule.
But see, he goes back and forth like that because the second stuff starts going bad, he's like, okay, back to, you know, hard hammer.
Right.
And I'm like, and that's like, basically
Bambi,
how every king ever.
Bambi, you were right.
Like, every time you try to go nice, the stupid peasants take advantage, and that's why you have to drop the hammer on them.
Yeah. Now,
so, you know, I mean, that's king shit for you.
So now we know that the fairies, because the last thing that happens in this the last season is also that Fenn comes back to warn Elliot that the fairies are coming to take over the castle.
Right.
What do you think that they will do in order to stop that from happening? I'm talking about our gang, to stop the fairies, because Margot's already given up an eye, and I'm pretty sure she's like tapped out.
I've given everything.
I've got it.
I got nothing.
I don't like them bitches.
Fenn gave up.
I
her
gave
toes
it all to you.
Yeah, her toes.
Like,
yeah,
to
I was
back.
On her feet.
These fairies are rough.
Yeah, they are. They're not the kind of fairies you normally read about.
No, the only place I've seen, like, besides ancient tales, is like Harry Dresden.
Yeah, the Dresden Files.
The Dresden Files, those fairies don't fuck around either.
Oh, yeah, they're fucking super
They won't
serious.
Tell you a lie, but they will lawyer the hell out of you.
Yep.
And you better know what the hell you're doing, because they will take pieces of you bit by bit,
mm-hmm.
like kind of like this.
Yeah, so I feel like what is going to happen now, because obviously there's, again, we have these fuck ton of problems. Now we have Ember and Umber who are dead, so his parents are going to come. So now we're going to be dealing with the older gods that are going to be coming back.
Do you think they're going to come, or that our punishment was already met by turning off magic?
No, I think they're going to come.
Do you think there's more?
I think what's going to end up... My prediction when it comes to the magic aspect is they have to solve it. I mean, you have
Obviously.
Julia.
Yeah, you have to have it.
And I think that Julia's that driving force. And then since her and Elliot made up at the end when he was the one that brought her into Fillory, he saw that she was having like this total meltdown because now she's got her shade back and now she's feeling everything and hates the world again and is becoming... dark. And Elliot had already been there in season one.
Yep.
He kind of brought her over. I feel like the two of them, very much like in the books, are going to be that power force that drives it forward. I don't know what the older gods are going to do. And that's the part that I'm like, all right, I have no prediction. And I feel like they're coming. They're going to come. They lost two of their kids. Their Fillory's got no magic. Oh, there's a fucking earthling running it without no idea or concept of what's going on. So I do feel like they're going to come back. I just don't know. I don't know if that's going to be the next big bad that carries over one more season.
I would think so, because right now we don't even know what the old... Like, this is what... Look what Ember and Umber were capable of.
Right.
I mean, just the guy taking a shit in the wellspring fucked magic up, like, bad.
Yes.
Let alone anything else. Oh, and, you know, coming in a cup, like, made Alice a god for, like, yes. 5 seconds.
God damn it.
Which so, is still awesome. All right. of those things are awesome. It's the stuff I wish Harry Potter would have had. Like, can you imagine Hermione...
Where's the sexy book of magic?
Yeah, can you imagine if Hermione had to suck, like, I mean, like, swallow...
Swallow a god's load.
Yeah, like, and or to, like,
and
I don't
to
know.
Steal from Kevin Smith, Forgeticus.
Yeah, Forgeticus. Big time Forgeticus.
So what do you think? Okay, so at the end also we find out that Alice killed an entire family as a Niffin.
Yes.
And now that family is coming back to get her. What do you think Alice fucking did to kill an entire family? Like, what do you think would have been her driving force?
I'm sure she wanted some piece of, like, to me, she was a knowledge-driven being at that point, right? So this family probably had something that she wanted. They said no. Assuming she even bothered to ask.
Right.
Because at that point, at that level of power, you may not even have stopped to
you
ask.
You don't even care. Yeah.
And if they even put up an ounce of resistance, I'm sure she just went like, that's cute, fire. and just burned them to ashes, because that would be what I would do.
Yeah.
And so...
Yeah. I mean, I don't put that past her. Again, she had no shade, and she was basically like a powerful ass being.
Right, and she was like at the bottom of the Niffin scale. Like she, like that other guy, the monk guy.
Yeah,
was
the
way
one that she kept
powerful.
Talking to. Well, the one who comes in and warns her, and then she right. dips it like a goddamn Olympic race runner.
Just like, magic is over. I'm going.
Yeah, she's like, and I'm gone. And I think that that'll create also a rift between Quentin and Alice.
Oh, absolutely.
Because he, for all he is, he likes. The idea of not being such a bad person.
Oh, he
and that
he wants to be a good as goody two shoes as possible. He's Harry.
Yeah,
like
he
in
is
that
Harry.
Regard,
yeah.
He wants to be as good, even though he knows that, like, listen, I've got to kill Voldemort at some point. I'm going right. to try to win this war without killing anybody else.
Yeah, and so I think that that'll create another riff. I feel, again, very Dawson's Creek. Like, I don't know who, like, is going to end up with Joey. Like, and I feel right. that way with, like, Quentin. Like, are you going to be with Julia or are you going to be with Alice? Like,
right.
this
the love
is
triangle,
fucking
typical.
Killing me. And, like, and it's all, it is Dawson's Creek all over again because you're like, well, you're kind of the most compatible with Alice, but, man, you should really be with Julia.
Really?
Yeah.
I think he's more compatible with Julia.
I think Julia runs circles around him.
I mean, but, yeah, that's part of, but that's part of why I think, maybe it's just me projecting onto Quentin.
Maybe it is. I mean, I want him to choose Julia.
Because, like, I like Alice and she's nice and she's hot. There's no doubting that actress is hot. And
yeah.
and definitely interesting in what she does with the character.
Oh,
and,
definitely.
And Alice is not a boring character by any stretch of the imagination. And wow, to be a part of that family.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Jesus Christ. Oh, every family gathering is a bacchanalia?
Sweet. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, and yet she's bitching and complaining.
I know. Like, what
like, fuck you.
Nobody's
get
ever
it.
Satisfied with their family. Everybody always hates their family.
Yeah.
In some regard.
And that just goes to show that you're going to hate them no matter what.
Yeah.
And then also, Penny's dying.
Right.
And there's
also
no fucking magic. That is a big problem.
Radioactive. Issues.
Yes, radioactive issues. There is no magic to save him. I obviously don't think that they're going to kill him.
No way.
I think
not Penny. Like, not especially not this early. Like maybe the last season he'll be like one of the last to go.
Yeah, and that I think that he also is a traveler. We're going to need him for at some point. So
especially
somewhere they need
the
to fix him
to go back to Fillory. Like right, they gave him the button.
Yeah, they gave him the button. They gave the button to the dragon.
Dragon. Yeah.
They only found one other way to go back, which is how Elliot and Julia go back.
Yeah.
You
have the fountains and you have the clock.
Yeah,
I think, is basically
the clock, which is what they got from Ember.
Yeah.
Which is how they were able to go back again. Which is how Quentin was able to go back. So I feel like the first thing that they have to solve in the realm of everything that's happening is Penny dying.
Yes.
I feel like that's going to be something that you have to fix quickly because of what we know is going to happen from all the trailers. So we know in the trailers that we were shown that Elliot has to go and find the keys.
Yes.
He's gotta go
clearly
find
keys are a big thing, which is hysterical. Again, going back to that tattoo that I want.
Yes.
That it was a lock and, you know, yes. the starburst around it.
Which
so,
is super cool.
Yeah, I love how they tie that, like, keys
all
and locks
together.
And everything together. Yeah.
And so he's supposed to go and find 7 keys. Now, in the books, this originally happens in the second book. In the second book, they have to go on this mission to go find all these keys. Not because magic is gone. Magic is deteriorating. So
okay,
we're going
so kind of
back
to the season 2.
Yeah, going back to
effect.
like Ember Shat and the fucking Wellspring. Let's go find these keys to make magic better. Kind of like that. But now it's because there's no magic. So they have to go find these keys. And I feel like they'll need Penny for that.
Yeah.
And so I feel like you have to fix Penny before you fix everything else. Before you start attacking why magic isn't happening and so on and so forth.
Agreed.
And then in the books... Quentin gets banished from Fillory.
Oh, shit.
Now, I wanted to see now before this next season happens, if we're going to go take a vote, if they're going to keep that in the show. Do you think they're going to kick out Quentin from Fillory?
Yes, only because it would be the most devastating thing to do to him.
Out of all of them.
Out of all of them. Like,
kick out
like
Quentin.
Elliot is like, I'm hiking, that's great, but like I kind of really want to be back in the real world.
Right.
But I've accepted that I have this responsibility now. But and same thing with like most of the other characters. I have this responsibility now. I want to keep Fillory alive.
Right.
And we're kind of in this shit together. Quentin would like just be devastated by the concept that he could never go back. Everybody else would be kind of like, I have magic, I'm cool.
It's like if everybody I know got a Hogwarts letter and I didn't.
Oh my
that's
god.
How
oh
I,
man.
But oh that's how I feel.
Don't even
about
go there. That's nightmarish. Yeah.
Oh. But that is like for me, like
I felt that like deep in my gut. Yeah, that's
what for me would happen to Quentin, because he's the one that read all the books, knew everything, knew every history, knew you didn't even need to show him the page. He reread it 100 times, and then he doesn't become the king of Fillory.
That I was a little surprised at when they gave it to Elliot as opposed to
Quentin. I was glad they did that, though,
because
I was like, good, because you want to switch it up on me, and you want to give it to the person who I least thought
right,
would
the,
get
the
it.
The least responsible, the least that
and
ever wanted to be
purpose,
in charge.
Which yeah. was a great arc for
it
Elliot, because
gave
you
purpose.
Gave him something to that he needed to do in a moment where he was the darkest in his life.
Oh,
so.
Speaking of, like, just going back to Elliot, like, he's such a like free-flowing character. Like, you don't really think too much of him until it, like he was pushed back to the wall and he had to kill that guy that was possessed by the beast,
his
and
boyfriend.
Just his battle magic just went through the roof.
Yeah, and he's and I love Elliot. He's one of I love.
He said
Julia
they're going to red my wedding.
Yeah,
I'm sold.
Yes,
it's yeah. The,
oh my god,
yes, of
the
yeah.
Foo Fighters.
The Foo Fighters.
I'm sorry.
Oh my god.
Going back real quick.
Yeah, I know. Going backwards, but the Foo Fighters.
Yeah, the Foo Fighters
wow.
are great. But
again,
Elliot
to the
is. If I just talk about character wise, Elliot's my favorite. He's the one I dressed up as because he's also in. He's like the me I want to be more. Like that's Elliot. You know, like I'm a lot more like I'm like a mixture of Quentin. And like I would say, Julia, and I want
to
be Elliot.
Gotcha.
Like, that's
gotcha.
Your life goal is to
yeah.
Reach
my
that
life
level
goal is
fuck
to
it.
Like yeah, I don't give a shit. I'm drinking and go. I don't know. Go fuck somebody.
I love when he realized that he had to go back to his agrarian roots, and he's like, "Oh, don't hold this against me, and don't spread the knowledge."
Yes.
But I grew up on a shit farm,
which is hilarious. And he's still trying to make wine. He was like, "We will make fucking wine in
yes.
this place." So and then okay. So. Here are my predictions for season 3, and then I want to get into yours. So I think that we're going to see the beginning of the power that Julia holds and why she holds that power and what she'll become. And I will say that karma and fate meet together, and we end up finding out maybe towards the end of the season what she is, if anything. I will leave it open to that, only because I know what happens in the story. I do think the fairies will take over Fillory.
Absolutely.
And I think that that'll be the catalyst for season 4 is, okay, we've gotten magic back. Penny's good. Shit, how do we get Fillory back? You know? And I do think that the old gods will come, and it'll be reasons why they're banished from Fillory and letting the fairies almost take over the world for a little bit. Those are my, like... And the 7 keys. I had already said that from the beginning.
Right.
We have. I mean,
it's in
the previews.
It's in the trailer.
Yeah. It's in the trailer. It's not a spoiler. I think it'll drag out how much. You know how long it's gonna. Well, maybe not. I think it'll be like halfway through the show. They'll finally get the last key. And if in true magic and the way that things happen to them, they're gonna get the keys. They're gonna get magic back, and then boom, the older gods show up and tell you no.
Well, what they say with no. Quentin and the lady who gave up magic, every time you solve one thing, another thing
pops
up
and it's always bigger and worse.
Yeah.
So what are your predictions if you have any?
Well, I mean, just by the fact that they cast Felicia Day as a dragonologist.
Yes.
they're
going back to the
I'm going to throw a wild guess out there and say there's going to be a lot of dragons.
Yes.
Or at least talk of dragons in this episode. And they might be, since they're gatekeepers of the underworld and inherently magical creatures throughout all kinds of lore and in every culture, I think has a dragon or two that's lasted any kind of... time.
Yeah.
You know, there's got to be a billion different dragons in this verse, I bet.
I'm sure. And I'm wondering if they're just going to the underworld and to go see something else.
Well, it's possible.
Someone else. Or if it's a totally different aspect.
Right, and maybe it goes fucked up and they just have to sacrifice a dragon to bring magic back or something, like something horrifically bad and only Julia is willing to do it or something.
Or they need that dragon person to get the other dragon to give them back the button.
Also a possibility. Yeah, they have to make a deal within a deal kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then I think with your predictions of Julia, she's going to have something. Not only is she shown as the only one who has magic left, but again, she was raped by a god.
Yeah.
And has shown persistent powers greater than what she already possessed. So maybe that leftover god power is what is powering her now.
And not only was she raped by a god, but then forgiven
yes.
by another god and allowed to continue on. And you don't even know what really happens because she does that weird caress thing to yeah. Julia and she says something to her and then it's like...
And she might be one of the older gods that might be
she
coming.
She might be. Because that might save them.
Persephone might be their only saving grace.
At this point. And because yeah. she kind of owes Julia a favor.
Huge favor.
That's what I'm saying. Everybody owes Julia. She does fucked up shit. But
she owes Renard. I mean, Renard was dead to rights.
Yes, and then she went ahead and let him go.
I couldn't have let him go. I would have.
So basically,
totally
she's just
going to
be like, "Oh, we're fucked. Well, I'm going to cash in that favor
we're
now."
Remember that?
You remember that one time when
didn't
shit
kill
happened?
Your son?
I didn't kill your son. You remember that, right? After he raped me and got me pregnant with
and
a weird
murdered
fucking
like half of the witches in the world or whatever. You know?
Oh my god! Yeah, and then I almost had to birth their child. Like that's. Oh, I've been through a lot of shit, lady. You owe me this favor.
That was messed up with the whole, like, the fetus thing is going to protect itself by stabbing people and casting, like, okay, you're a clump of cells and you're already messing with
and you're already fucking everything up.
Yeah.
Katie was an interesting character this season. I just wanted to make mention to her because I felt like she was kind of hit or miss in the first season, and I think that they did a really good job with showing her growth and separating her from Penny.
Yes.
Because that was in the first season very
yes,
very
they were
much
very
like
at the hip.
They were very at the hip, very much like Margot and Elliot, and now you're getting that separation. So I think
I wish they would have brought her back more at the beginning and more once they kicked her out of Breakville's.
Yeah.
Because I think that stopped her character development too hard, like too much in the tracks.
Right.
And then we go from, okay, the last thing we saw of her was in season one and she left, and then we find her as a heroin addict. And I'm like, that's a leap.
I'm a magic heroin addict.
I'm not saying it's not a deserved leap because, again, you get kicked out of the magic world.
I know,
and
but she's so
stuff.
Like, what is she? She's so, what's the term? Oh my God, she does the plaid with the one button at the top.
Catholic schoolgirl?
No, like a Mexican gangster. Yeah, she wears plaid, and if you ever notice, she's got just the one button like they do, and the flannel's open with the white shirt underneath. I'm like, oh my God, you're like straight up. I don't know why she's a vato, but she is. But I love her.
She grew up on the streets with her mom, who's a hedge witch, man.
You're right.
She's streetwise.
She knows that streetwise shit.
Street magic.
But yeah, I'm very excited. By the time you guys are listening to this episode, it is either the day before or the day of its season three, episode one release. I'm excited to see what it is that's happening. I hope that they continue to use the book as a rough draft.
Yes.
To then continue to move forward, because I really do hope that this doesn't stay at just three seasons. Like, I hope that this is...
No, I hope it goes... I hope it goes... It's like... I find that series can go between five and seven seasons without overstaying their welcome.
Yeah.
And even good... Like, there's several good series out there. Like, I loved Bones, but when it hit season, like, 15 or whatever the hell it's on, I gave up at, like,
season 10. They have no more ideas.
I know. You just keep recycling at that point. It's the same thing. Like, I love Buffy. I love Buffy with all of my heart. I still want... I go back and watch that show and remember 1990 saying that I haven't said in 20 years at this point almost, and then I go, oh, I still want to watch this. And,
yeah, no, it
but
still holds
it
up.
Ended at seven seasons, and it's that was perfect.
That last season was pushing it.
No,
well, because season six actually I think is its lowest point.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
then they redeemed themselves big time. And
it closed off well, but like yeah,
yeah,
that
yeah
six
but it had a rough.
And to be fair, sixth season has the best finale of them all because Willow goes. Fucking Dark
yeah.
Willow, and
yeah, no,
that
was one of the few. That was one of the few things that worked in that season.
Bored now, anyway.
Yeah, yeah. I did like Buffy, and I like Buffy only because I love Buffy the movie. With
that's why I started watching it.
Oh,
it's a completely different character, but that's why I watched.
The only time you've ever seen me in a cheerleader outfit was after that movie came out. That I was not a cheerleader. I was a vampire slayer.
There you go.
For like 3 years, but I just happened to wear a cheerleader outfit. Because
cheerleader outfit
that's
you wear the fucking leather jacket over it.
I did, and yeah. boots. I was
Absolutely.
Like, fuck this shit.
There you
and
go.
Then I walked around with hairspray, because that's how she killed them.
Yep.
For
yep.
the most part, she killed
yeah.
some of them. But
no,
anyhow.
I kill you with my fashion sense.
Yeah, my fashion sense. Oh my God.
Killer fashion
I'm
sense.
Sorry. Pee Wee Herman's best role still to date.
Absolutely.
And the best death scene of life.
Right?
So good.
I love oh when God. I think it was Luke Perry again.
Yes.
We're dating ourselves with these references. But when he's like, Pee Wee Herman says, we can do anything. And he's like, oh yeah? Clap.
Yeah.
Because Pee Wee Herman by that point had lost his arm.
Yeah. It's so cheesy and like, but delicious. I love
oh,
that
that's
show.
That's amazing.
And that's why I watch the show. But so for those of you who are listening, if you haven't seen the first season, let us know if you think that our predictions are on point? Have you read the books? Do you see it going somewhere else? Do you think it's the last? It's going to be the last season. I don't know. Olivia, who plays Alice, did some cryptic ass message on Instagram.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, she was like, "Oh, wrapping it up. This has been such a great." And I literally wrote underneath it. I was like, "Why are you talking like this is the last one? Why are you talking like no?" And they're like, and some stupid douchebag fan was like, "You know, there's only three books and there's three seasons." And I was like, "Bitch, listen.
No way. They're stopping it at three.
Bitch, listen."
I was like, "Listen, I know how books work and I know how adaptations work.
I know how to read.
Have you seen The Hobbit?
Yeah. Or I don't know how many Harry Potter movies did we have versus how many books, and it was the same amount of stories,
and
but
they really
we stretched it.
Yeah,
right?
They should have been broken that stuff up from book
We've
four
had to
forward.
Two parts, everything. It should have been, except for... Like,
I think 1, 2, and 3 stayed fine, but they after book four, I mean, you look at the book length,
yeah,
of 3 versus 4 and
no,
onward.
Goblet of Fire should have been 2. It
yes.
was fine. Actually, 5 and 6 were fine being solo movies.
You think so?
My problem with 6 was just that it was just a bad movie. I definitely didn't like Half Blood Prince. I was very upset by it. No, I love the book. The
no,
movie.
No, but I'm saying I love the movie.
I love the movie.
I mean,
movie
we,
too.
Like I said, we've talked about this. I have a super low bar. Apparently, I found it. But that's another topic.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's pretty much it. Chad, do you have a Twitter or anything that people can follow you at?
Add Xenophagus. I don't really, I'm not too active on Twitter, but I do follow a lot.
There
like, I'm much more stalkery on Twitter than I am on Facebook.
Look at that. He'll make sure to follow you.
And then, if you need someone to follow, I'll be Ali there. But I will plug my, I just joined my firm. It's an intellectual property firm. We do copyrights, trademarks, business stuff. And I know that falls into a lot of people's territory that listen to this. So we're Peretz, Chesel, and Herman. You can find us at pch.iplaw.com. And that's where I'll be.
Fantastic. Great. And Bear, where can they always follow you?
Oh God, on Twitter, you can hear me babble about weird nonsense.
I love your Twitter feed. I love your Twitter feed.
I retweet. I've actually switched to retweeting more just because I just don't have the effort to fucking just write shit on Twitter anymore.
I don't have
anymore.
Time to like. I that's why I turned stalkery because I have so much going on. I'm happy if I can post a picture of my kid doing something on Facebook these days.
But on Twitter, I'm Pedro Cortez Get, and then on Instagram, I'm at Girl Lagan. I've actually been doing more just. Whenever I'm cleaning up my room, I'll throw on like a vinyl or something, and I'll just record whatever vinyl I'm listening to for like 10 or 15 seconds and just throw that up. Just, I don't know. It's
yes, that would
like
be
a cheap,
copyright
easy one.
Violation.
Ah, well. I've only been popped once, and it was for Zeppelin, which I should have known. Everything else is floated, so.
Yeah.
I'm just messing with you.
Yeah.
I don't care. Nobody cares. I mean, you're also doing it for so many little seconds that it's like if you really want to be. Prince would have been a dick if he had been still alive. And
I was going to say Prince has.
No.
Prince has larger concerns,
I'm
such
well
as
aware.
Being dead.
I'm well aware that he's dead.
Minor
now.
Detail.
And guys, I've actually.
It's not if you're in the. Not if you're in law.
I've actually switched my Instagram because I'm trying to separate my personal life with my, like, I don't know, persona life. I don't know what you call it, but you can follow me now.
Celebrity life?
Yeah, my celebrity life. My local celebrity life, really.
Hey, celebrity. Don't knock
I'm
it.
Probably bigger than Kathy Griffin right now.
I mean, no one's ever heard of me. At least people have probably heard of you.
So you can follow me now on Instagram at QFindor instead of Gryffindor, QFindor, which is way more fitting for me.
There you go.
But I am still Cue the Mic on Twitter, and I'm getting a lot better about being more active on Twitter as of late. So
you're learning Twitter. You almost understand Twitter.
It's only like, what, 8 years?
12
later.
Years.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm terrible.
Twitter
is
fucking
I have
been around
ground
for a
to
minute.
Stand on, but I'll still sling someone.
I'm starting to get more sassy on there, if you will, as I need to. Or
that's
really,
a good sassy.
I just like to troll people. Is really what I do on Twitter, or
that's
I talk about my married life because my wife doesn't have a Twitter.
Oh shit!
she's
not listening.
I know.
She's not even listening.
She never is.
There's no joy,
guys. She never is. Don't worry about
it. That's married life in general.
It
they, is. Never, they never listen.
Hashtag married life, guys. But other than that, I hope you enjoyed this. I hope you enjoy season 3 of The Magicians. If you're an avid reader like I am. I'm about to start reading the second book. I waited until after the second season was done just so that I can go back and see how different it is, and I didn't want to ruin season 3. So you can always do that, and you can always follow The Talking Geek, as usual, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook? I said that already. Anyhow, and our website, talkinggeekpod.com. We also have a Patreon for as little as $1. You can help us do more geeky content and all of that jazz. I will also be at Paradise City Comic Con if you are in Miami this weekend, which is the 13th, 14th, and 15th. I'll be there Friday and Saturday. I'll be at a few panels and a few rooms bouncing around. If you see me, stop me, stalk me, do the whole nine. And until next time, everybody, stay geeky.
Really?
We'll be right back.
upstairs and our hands are untied. Will you believe me that I love you? Would it fool us? Choice to choose.